Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Hearthside Chats, everybody.
That's what we normally do by the fire.
We do whatever we want.
Yeah, you kick up
your feet. Near the fire. You get toasty.
I'll make cocktail wieners.
Okay.
Cocktail wieners.
Weenie me.
Weenie me.
Let's heat up some weenies.
That's right.
We are your weenies. Brian Murphy, Caldwell Tanner, Emily Axford, and of course, Jake Hurwitz.
Howdy, hey.
It's been a minute since we've answered your questions that weren't D&D court cases. So we thought we'd, you know, kick off our shoes, sit by the fire, answer some of your burning questions.
That's right. Wow. The moon is full. Our weenies are plump, and my mind is ready.
Our weenies are so
Murph
plump.
Already introduced the episode.
He had to say that our weenies are
we
plump.
We could have started.
Jake.
We could have started. I was ready to take it away. Murph introduces
the moon
it.
Full,
I
go,
the plump. The moon being full and our weenies being plump is just like, is a full moon we're fucking horny.
Yeah.
I just need you to see like the moonlight reflecting off of these turgid
off of
weenies.
These fucking half chub. That I'm ready to howl.
Chubbed wieners. Moonlight hitting a chubbed wiener.
Half chubbed and howling.
Okay. Well, let's kick it off with a little man I think of as Salt of the Murph.
Oh!
Wow.
This question comes from Liz. How do you decide on / balance the magic items you give your players?
Oh, ooh, that's interesting. Well, in campaign one, I didn't know how to do it, so you guys just got really good stuff.
Yeah.
But I would say just trial and error. The most broken thing I gave to you guys, which we've talked about before, was the Duddle Egg that gave you a long rest by just eating it, I thought was just going to be you guys pop it right away, and that allows me to continue the story without you guys doing a long rest. But instead, you just hung on to them and then used them whenever you wanted to.
Yeah. How many did we have?
You just had three. You had one each, but I think like... literally, you guys just didn't sleep that one night and just hung on to them and were fine.
So the eggs were super old when we ate them too.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I could have made it so they went bad. They could have just only been good for like a couple hours or something like that, but I fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think the answer is to fuck up.
Right.
And then to once you have a better kind of understanding of the game, then what you end up doing is kind of working off of things that already exist. Like, you're like, oh, this will have a charge of this spell that maybe the character might be able to do anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, something like Callie's Luck Blade is obviously homebrewed off the Luck Blade that's in the DM's guide. It
but
doesn't have a witch spell.
The once a day wish
we
spell.
Remove the once a day wish spell.
Which I am so curious in what campaign that makes any sense.
I feel like it could work in this campaign. It'd be kind of interesting. Like,
just
wish for Calder to come back.
Once a day wish spell?
Yeah, wish for the egg.
What is going on in your campaign that you have a once a day wish spell and that doesn't solve everything?
I guess it could just be like an end game item. The weird thing about it though is I think it's only a plus one or a plus. Is it a plus two? Is yours a plus two?
Plus one.
So it's a plus one sword.
Like plus one to hit, and but I could wish you dead.
I could wish it was a plus 10 sword.
Right, every day.
I believe the wording of wish is that it's up to the DM's discretion, but they do give you specific things that it does. So it doesn't necessarily mean you can just wish for anything, but it is
I didn't know that.
You can wish for a certain amount of money. You could basically just have infinite amount of money, just right. wish for a bunch of gold every and day.
Name and a problem money doesn't solve, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't well put, sir.
Ain't you look so truth. Sad, Jake.
No, I'm really trying to figure out what problem money doesn't solve.
but I think kind of taking things and so like off of that, right? So we had the luck blade, mm-hmm. lost the wish, but made it a rapier. So it has it's a D8 instead of a D6, and it has like the finesse thing, so mm-hmm. you can use two-handed weapons. Mm-hmm. And then I think it gave you the fine steed thing, or maybe you got that as a boon from the
that was a boon.
Oh, yeah. But basically just like work off what's there and kind of take what you need and mix and match. It's like a Lego set, but you can build it however you want.
Sweet.
Something I feel like you're really good at is like noticing. This works especially well for like a three-person party. You're really good at like noticing our deficiencies.
Yeah.
And like where we like need help or need work. Mm-hmm. And you'll like give us like an item or a boon to like counteract that a little bit. Like you gave Saul like an extra D8 of poison damage. We had like the amulet in campaign one because like it just helps, you know, like to have like a little extra healing energy. Yeah.
You make our weenies plump.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
You really do plumping up our weenies.
Yeah.
You plump my weenie, man.
Here's the thing.
We should make Valentine's Day cards.
Yes. Murph, we plump when you cook us.
Oh, and they could be like little balloons you could blow up.
Oh, okay. Little Oscar Mayer balloon.
You can't.
All right, so let's file that away for next year. And we'll step on over to Miss Emily Waxford.
Wax poetic.
It's wax poetic with Waxford.
The moon is full, our weenies are
waxing
plump.
Like my weenie.
I couldn't have planned that.
These weenies ain't weaning.
Oh shit, it's a crescent weenie.
All right, Normal Real Human asks, question for Emily. I'm a martial man, but you have done some amazing spellcasters. What class or multi-class should I start with for my first full caster experience in a long campaign?
I'd also like to thank them real quick. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
First full caster. I mean, I'll open that up to the group. What do you think? Jake, well, how is your experience? Because you're more of a martial guy, but then you play Bard for Hot Boy Summer.
Yeah, I've never played any other full caster, but I did feel like Bard, it felt martial adjacent enough. Yeah. It felt like I could get in the mix still.
I think that Bard actually might be a good suggestion because you have a lot of non-spell utility, but also you're limited. You're only choosing, like, even with Calliope, my spell list for Bard is small. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it really does give you a chance to hone in, focus on some spells.
Yeah, it's much more manageable.
Yeah, so, like, if you're cleric or druid, you're stocking your spells every day. And if you're feeling intimidated by spell casting, that might end up being less fun.
Yeah.
But Bard or Sorcerer, you have a small little list of spells. You're going to get to know those,
baby. Oh, that is interesting. Like, Sorcerer over Wizard if you're intimidated by the amount of spells you might have.
Bard is also... It's fun just to, like... I feel like, you know, playing fighters, I'm always needing to boost my strength, con or dex. And then, like, with Bard, I remember, like, I played Tread like such a jackass that I was always surprised, like, oh, I have really high persuasion.
Yeah.
I'm charming.
That dumb thing I just said is going to work.
So that's fun for role play. And also, like Bard, I think you're a D8, which is like a little less like squishy than I think sorcerers are sorcerers and wizards are D6. So it's like you have a little bit better hit points.
Yeah.
You might, I don't know if Bards have, but like they have more stuff that it might be a better entry to spell casting. Yeah.
Same thing, Warlock too, like Onyx.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Warlock is pretty limited.
Onyx does so much.
Yeah, what is
damage.
What is the name of that subclass again?
Hexblade.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Like if what you like about your martial classes is your damage output, then 100% to be Onyx.
And you'll still get your spells.
Uh-huh. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really
College
great.
Of Swords, Bard, Hexblade, Warlock. Those are kind of nice melee crossovers.
But if you're feeling intimidated by spells, then Bladesinger, like with wizards, you have a lot more spells to be looking through. But Bladesinger would be like, if you're like, well, cool, but I want two attacks by sixth level, then Bladesinger, you can still like have good dex and be attacking twice.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
That's all nice. Right. Sweet. That's so cool. Answered. Let's move on over and call on Caldwell. This question actually...
My bun is open.
Whoa.
This question comes from Emily, but not this one.
Yeah, but it might also come from me.
Hold on. There's another Emily?
If you can believe
this
it.
This is fucked up.
I guarantee they're cool. Every Emily is cool. Go on.
Yeah. My question is for everyone, but especially Caldwell, since he switched subclasses recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mechanically, what has changed about how you play your character since the start of the campaign? Did anything about your class surprise you, or classes surprise you, as you played them more?
Well, I guess like Saul, like the initial arc for Saul was kind of like about like realizing his entire life was a lie.
Right.
And now I feel like, you know, he had like a switch from that. Like there was this moment where we were in the Beastlands where he like kind of like learned a little more about like the origin of his abilities. And that kind of set me on like a new path. And I feel like at that point, like from that point, I was like, maybe I want to switch subclasses. Maybe I want something that feels like a little more, a little less like magical and a little more like inherent.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like on the hunt for that. And then I think that moment when like Shroomrot fell in battle and then like I got like the mushroom boon, that really kind of solidified like that change. I feel like it always like happens with like a sea change, and like I'm always on the lookout. And I feel like Emily and Jake maybe as well, like you feel the same way when you're like trying to figure out like what to do with a character. You kind of like wait on something. You have like an idea like brewing in your head, and then you like kind of like wait to seize the moment. And for me, that's what it was. Is like I got those like shrooms. I knew that we were like going into like a different mode when we were like looking for Calder, and I'm like, this seems like the perfect moment to like switch things up.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because you're such a visual person. I feel like I'm more noticed like when your characters are changing outfits, it feels like there's something happening in your brain.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I've talked about this on like streams and stuff, and I just like I have to picture everything kind of like through like an animated lens.
Right. Like the way your gauntlets have changed.
Yeah.
It feels like every like 10 episodes there's like something new happening with your frog.
Mm. Yeah. I love to customize my frog.
Your turgid frog.
You're reskinning your frog, man.
The frog remains plump.
I feel like we all probably visualize the show in different ways, because I've got like video game brain and Caldwell's got animation brain.
I
have action movie brain.
Okay, so you guys are thinking like actual
I have action
people.
Movie and Naruto.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking anime a little bit, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I'm definitely thinking anime as well. Yeah. So that's where the ley lines cross.
I'm thinking like PlayStation 1 RPG.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I can picture a low poly Saul.
Yeah.
That'd be incredible. Oh man, like the textures are so crunchy. If somebody knows how to make graphics, please do that for me.
Yeah, make us a cool Final Fantasy VII looking thing.
Yeah.
Can you make our video game for us? Because that was super hard. All right, let's come around the table to me, and I will go ahead, Jake my day.
Wow!
Lila R. Ember writes, what subclass of fighter does Jake think about for a possible campaign for?
Mm.
I'm going to assume that is no shade, because I just unabashedly love a fighter.
If there is shade, then I disagree with it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm going to assume best intentions.
Mm-hmm. And I bet it is that.
I have played a lot of fighter subclasses, love them all, but I also just like, I would be into looking at other martial classes. Like I played Jivelin in campaign, I played a barbarian, but I Jivelin was maybe, I'm not sure what level he was.
He was a zealot barbarian, and I think like you didn't really have like a hold on the barbarian class at that time, because it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, definitely, no idea what I was doing. I think I like forgot to rage. I was like, this guy doesn't do that much damage, and I realized I just wasn't rolling a D6
and I think zealot
time.
Barbarians do like the most damage. I think they're like the best barbarian.
Really? I think part of it is too, like when you just dip in and you like play a class for like a small arc or something.
Yeah,
I didn't really like level up with him. I feel like playing something from the beginning to the end, I could really dig into barbarian and
Ooh, so you're curious about barbarian?
Interesting. I'm interested in the barbarian.
I like that.
I'm interested in the barbarian.
Yeah, that over. Have. I'm trying
I'd
to think
like to
what
see
we
you
haven't
play
had.
It more deeply.
Because we've had paladins, we've had bards, we've had monks now.
Mm-hmm. Fia did like a dip into war cleric, but we really haven't had like a proper cleric.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't had like a proper cleric.
Have we had a rogue? Rundown Johnny was a rogue.
Oh, yeah.
And that was great. But again, it's like I played him for like two or three episodes.
Yeah, same.
So like,
yeah,
leveling up with a rogue, I think, would be super fun.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I could get into that. But my action movie brain is like, I want to be the hero.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like the sneaky guy.
Yeah, you want to have a sword and be out there swinging it.
Does
a
part of you want to like circumnavigate the subclasses and just like collect them all?
Yeah, I think part of me does. I do think part of me
I like that.
All right, let's check out a crew query.
Wow.
This one comes from Nick N. Caldwell, Emily, and Jake. So I guess not a full
crew.
Hey. Oh, no, there's one for you, too. What was your favorite twist or big lore moment that Murph plotted that totally caught you off guard? Murph, what was your favorite move from each PC that took you by surprise slash made you change up your plans?
Just the reveal that Glenn was a Crick Elf was really awesome. Mm-hmm. And the reveal of Bev being, or of the, what was his name? The dragon.
Oh, Big Bev.
Big Bev being Beverly Pawpaw Mishka something or other.
Yeah, for me, it was Big Bev for me also. Yeah.
I feel like as far as just like volume of the yelp I made when you revealed that, that's got to be it for me as well.
Yeah.
But honestly, like the Saul stuff was like a very fun reveal as well, because I was like, kind of designed that character so that there was like a lot of open-ended stuff around like where they came from. That's the fun thing about having a character who's an orphan. You don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the Saul clone stuff was like a huge fun thing for me as well.
Yeah. Also, the Oberon stuff and like killing Callie's mother, but like,
oh God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like bringing her side,
but like, yeah, that was like a heavy scene that I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Even going into that kind of mythical terrain with Oberon felt really new to me, because I don't know, it just felt very mythical. I think I've said that before, but I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So then when it went there, I was like, oh, what a fun tone that we haven't really hit so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love anytime you guys throw kind of like a wrench into my plans. I sort of love it. we brought up like Rundown Johnny and stuff before. Mm-hmm. So even going back to like Eldermorn, of like, that was such a fun arc of, I had this dude in the Colosseum, was like supposed to be executed, and then Fia jumps in and saves him with a dimension door, and then you guys manage to not get grabbed and are able to just kind of like hide out.
Right.
And then that led to this whole fun thing where like you guys were split up and we played new characters and we got to see Chrissy and Rundown Johnny.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, especially because that was like pandemic, playing remote, us just like, you know, not really getting to like interact with each other, and it like injected a lot of life into that campaign, I think. Mm-hmm. I just got to like go up and be like, all right, new character.
And also, you guys, I'm more recent in campaign 3, recruiting Princess Shiverblight.
Oh,
was super funny.
God, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and using like all three, I think I said there was like 3 sending scrolls or something, used all 3. Princess Shiverblight,
drunk style,
but just the way that, that like all worked out with her chasing down the king and stuff like that. It's really cool, and you guys like Hard One's backstory coming out in that very organic way of you guys getting in that like little argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, I just love it when things are organic.
Oh yeah, God, yeah, the reveal of like why Hard One is on the mortal plane again, that was huge. Yeah. That gave me chills. So yeah,
I got chills when I read the email from Murph. Damn, that's sick. Hell yeah.
Chills from an email. The man is a master.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's
chubbed another, from an email.
That's another moment is like you guys not giving up that crown, because I.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely derailed. Yeah. That derailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told, I don't know if I had, if I had said this on mic yet, but my plan for it was for the crown to, for Glenn to steal it and then try to go to the Fey Wild to like recruit people, essentially.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Like use the power of Ultras to get like giants on his side, but also like Fey, like,
so we theoretically would have maybe had to chase him to the Fey
Wild. He would have been like a big bad that would have come later.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like think about it. You had 2 options. You've got like Hard One comes back or Blue Glenn.
Yeah.
There you go.
Either one is possible. All right, another crew query. Micah E writes,
is that crew with a Q, by the way?
Yes.
Can I see your laptop?
No.
Q are you?
But I did write query with a C. Micah E writes, hey folks, revisiting the Crick in C3 has been really fun, but if given the chance, is there any specific combat location from C1 you'd also like to fight in as the C3 characters, like the Tower of the Watchmen or the University in Gladeholm?
Oh, Gladeholm was always my favorite. The Mage Madness. I would love to do Mage Madness with our characters now.
Yeah, I mean, Gladeholm's in the astral plane now, so there's definitely reason for characters to visit there at some point.
Yeah, but specifically, I want to do Mage
you
Madness.
You specifically want to do the same participate.
But like there's non-corrupted Mage Madness.
In theory, they make they do the Mage Madness every year, right? Isn't it a wizard tournament?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
our characters could go and practice.
Go.
To write a
go to space.
Hey, none of us are wizards, but we are rich.
Yeah.
I think we're not sure what money means.
We've been saving. We have just don't quite, know if it's
We have maybe a year's salary. We're not sure.
I think Frostwind will be cool too. Definitely want to buy Frostwind.
Yeah, that's going to be such a different vibe for Frostwind.
I love that. I was talking about how I have a video game brain. Love the snow town in any RPG.
Yeah.
Love the snow level.
And I've always liked the water level, the beach town. So I want to go back to Smuggler's Bounty as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I want to see, like, specifically, because you said there's something going on with a Cragwater beneath Galadron, right?
There is. Cragwater's kind of back.
The Crag is back.
Hey, Crag's back, everybody. There's also Asmodeus, which you guys didn't really get to see last time.
Yeah. I'm very excited to check that out.
Because you guys are on that side of the world now, where it's like you guys never really got to Iron Deep. You never really got to Asmodeus. It just was like a kind of place where you guys fought Akarot at one point.
What about the One Hells? Would we characters go there? Is that possible?
Know. Maybe at some point.
Did Pendergreens release like a zine about like the changes?
Well, I think it's because the Dusk Mother took over Hell and it became the Ruby Dawn. So Pendergreens probably is keeping a low profile.
Right.
Okay.
It's so funny. Yeah. All right. That's so much more epic. The Dusk Mother making the Ruby Dawn rather than Pendergreens Bowflex.
Then I want to see the Ruby Dawn.
I think Pendergreens still calls it the One Hells, but it's technical name. That's like
Is it kind of like a Shadowfell-y Hell now?
We'll have to see.
Yeah. Okay. Ruby Dawn, if it's Hell, I still want to visit.
Yeah.
I feel like the One Hells is what Pendergreens calls his apartment down there.
Yeah.
Welcome.
And actually, this is apropos for the next question for Salt of the Murph. Josh is asking, are there any other continents on Bohumia besides the main one we know from Campaign 1 and 3 in Frostwind?
Oh my God. You don't have to answer.
Yeah. You don't have to answer.
I don't have to answer this. Our DM does not have to answer that.
His weenie just shriveled.
How dare you? My weenie's no longer plump. You got a main continent, which is like all the way to the west is like Asmodia and where Gladeholm was and like Hillholm and stuff like that. All the way to the east is like the ruins of Galadron and Cragwater and stuff like that. Then to the north, you've got Frostwind and the Frigid North and everything. Now, to the south, there is a small continent that's an island that has this city called Maringate.
Yeah.
That Callie's dealt with it. That there's
it's the trade between the Feywild and the Material Plane.
Yeah, so there's sea elves down there who work with the Feywild to a bunch of people live there, people that want to live on the Material Plane, and then also Callie was involved with smuggling down there.
We very much need to go there.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of Callie, let's see if Emily will wax poetic for us. Emily Waxford. Hannah G. writes, are there plans for a continuation of Hot Boy Summer, a.k.a. Multiverse of Madness? You don't have to answer.
She does not have to answer that.
I do not have to answer. I do have a plan. Obviously, we have some scheduling stuff coming up, so I have a dream of maybe doing an October takeover, but Murph and I haven't really talked about it. We haven't figured out if the schedules would align.
I think it'll time out nicely given what we kind of have recorded and what we've got coming up. I think.
Yeah. Something, but if I do an October takeover, you fuckers can't complain about it.
Why would they complain
begging for it. We're over here. Our dog's plump as hell, and you're trying to shrivel our dogs.
Don't shrivel our dogs.
You're trying to shrivel our dogs.
Not in October.
Don't shrivel our spooky October dogs.
Are you thinking it would be like a little bit of a spooky arc?
I like spooky stuff, and it feels like a chance to get a little spooky.
Whoa. This guaranteed haunted hayride?
Jinx, I told you that in privacy!
She doesn't have to answer.
She doesn't have to answer.
You don't understand. I'm gonna be able to drag out a hayride for four episodes.
But just with these guys, you probably
imagining Mavericks' crew dealing with like a haunted house or something is so funny. Of everyone pretending like they're not scared but being so scared.
Yeah. We're gonna punch so many holes in walls. Yeah. What
the fuck do you guys think is going on in here?
Right. They're not allowed to touch us, right?
See that girl with the wet hair?
No.
What the fuck is that?
Dude, shut up. I can't see her. What are you talking about?
I think she's into me.
It's too dark. I'm scared. We're still in the parking lot.
I'm gonna...
Dave just like breaks someone's arm from throwing a frisbee at him. The guy comes at him with a chainsaw and he just absolutely decks him.
Oh my God. Okay, let's call on Caldwell here. Welsh Lander asks,
ring, ring.
A question for Caldwell. I never caught it on my first listen, but while listening to C3 and everything in between, you mentioned teaching chickens to count, and then there's talk of horses being able to count in the Dungeon Court Live. Any other animals that can be taught to count? How do you come about this sort of information?
Well,
I think you just got razzed.
I think he's genuinely curious.
I'm gonna give Welsh Lander the answer they deserve. Well, snakes obviously can't count because they're just a one. I mean, they could count to one and zero, so the snakes can learn binary.
Okay.
You heard that here first. I think it's like anything with a hoof, they can go ahead and count because they're like knocking on it.
They can go ahead and count.
For the first time, goats, I think I don't believe your animal facts. I normally do.
What?
Goats can count?
Goats can absolutely count, but they're ornery, so they might not.
Whoa.
None of it's they count in private.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, they count that's private.
Animals are like the Rugrats with counting.
Mm. Oh,
yeah, so instead of talking, as soon as mom and dad leave, they count.
As soon as
count.
The farmer goes back
there's
into
a
the
farmhouse. Yeah.
What about
the goats
birds?
Are counting.
Yeah. Can birds count?
I mean, some birds can learn to speak, so absolutely they can learn to count.
Whoa.
Yeah, you could teach a parrot to count to 10.
Right, but does it know that it's counting?
I think so.
Can a bird do pre-calc?
Can a bird do pre-calc?
Yeah.
I don't know if they could grip the pin is the thing.
Oh, that's
the problem.
Well,
they would just have to peck problem. A
TI-83. Yeah,
if they could peck a TI-83.
I think you'd have to put like little pieces of seeds on the calculator.
Again, though, do they know what they're putting into the TI-83?
A bird could use a TI-83, but would it know that it was finding sine and cosine?
Yeah, it's just looking for kernels of corn that are on the numbers.
I think like it would start off, they'd be looking for the corn.
Yeah, right.
Eventually, they'd be like, what have I been pecking at? And so they'd like look over.
They'd start looking at all the graphs and whatnot.
Because like some birds, African greys, those fuckers will live for a long time.
They can
time.
Learn like 700 to 1,000 words.
Yeah. They can feel the loss of a loved one. So like, I absolutely think they can find the hypotenuse of a triangle.
Because you can count the days that you didn't have them.
Exactly.
Anymore. Wow, so they can count.
30 days since Sue passed.
And you can count on them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if birds can count, but you can count on them.
I think that was this was a really informative. Thank
yeah,
you,
thank
Paul
you.
Paul.
Watch,
that was awesome, dude.
I wanted and to plump everyone's brain question. Wieners too.
Yeah,
my brain. Are
your brain wieners
is
are plump?
Yeah, it's engorged for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Just electrons and water full of that.
Okay, go ahead, Jake. My day. Why not? Timmy S says for Jake. Spoiler: did you have any other character ideas before having the plan to play Hard One again?
Ooh.
Oh yeah,
I think
you
I
were gonna
maybe...
play Beverly, right?
Yeah, I was gonna come back as Beverly.
That would have made sense.
I think I feel like I mentioned this, but I was like looking at Rogue, and I already mentioned Rogue now. So I guess I'm obviously fascinated by Rogue. But I was like, that was one of the classes that I went with my phone to my bed trying to like, you know, process not being able to play Calder. I was like, maybe I can get happy about a character coming up.
That's interesting that you keep circling around Rogue, but you also are like, I don't think I would actually enjoy it. Because I personally fucking love sneaking around. However, I don't actually enjoy playing a Rogue.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's, I guess like the damage output of Rogue is like enticing to me. But then there's so many mechanics that you have to keep track of to like be able to deal your max damage.
Yeah, you usually only get the one attack too. It's a lot
true. I find them I mean, but they have the thing going for them that bards do, right, where they get like really decent proficiencies.
So
you can be really handy outside of battle.
And it would have been too exactly like Glenn, but I was also super in love with his build with the
sharpshooter.
It was just
that would have been cool.
Kind of sick, but then like it would have, we just saw like his big fall from grace, and if I'm like, I also have all the same stuff.
I'm Glenn.
I do like
funny, you know that guy we hit? That cross That
is, I was just like, I love the bow and arrow vibe.
Yeah, so that tight. Is interesting though. In the future, you could do Arcane Archer. That's another fighter. And they essentially
have Hungry Davis. And you could just do it. But it's almost like Battlemaster that they have all these different abilities. So you could play a really different Arcane Archer than Hungry Dave.
That
not to mention
cool.
you wouldn't be using a Frisbee. So already.
Right. Would you?
I don't think like that highly of myself as a role player, but I think I could differentiate myself
you
from
so. Hungry Dave. You do.
Yeah.
You do. Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure?
I don't know, because my character, well, they have a shot put instead of a right. Frisbee.
Oh, yeah. Here comes Peckish Pete.
Peckish Pete. He's always
a little hungry.
A little hungry. I could eat.
Yeah. Wow, that kobold is a little hungry. I love the idea of having like a sniper in our party.
Yeah.
Like someone that's like a little distanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when I played Zerk, he kind of like hung back and like shot from a distance and like cast its spells. And it was very fun. It's hard to get over the mental hump of being like, I'm a coward and I'm back here.
Yeah.
But like the fact that, I mean, you'd be dealing like massive damage as a fighter just from a distance.
Totally. And it's something I like just learned with Nyack to like hide and run and stuff.
Yeah.
Just get out of
there. Just stand there with a bow getting hit with a sword.
Yeah. It's like, wow, I don't want you to think I'm scared.
I'll face you head on.
Actually, speaking of Nyack, 8-Bit Bruchet writes, I absolutely adore the Trinivale and Bohumia mini arc.
Oh.
What are the chances of the triplets crossing over into Eldermore?
Oh
my God.
I'm trying to think how that would even work.
Yeah.
Jens becomes a blade.
Yeah. I guess we would probably just have to solve like some kind of horror.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the funniest way to do it is just to like put you in like the Hexbloods place and let you try and like stop like the murder of a king or something
political.
Like that.
Political. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Oh, God.
That's really
I think
funny.
They might die.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like us in a fishing village, we can kind of like we can
throw
like,
our weight around.
We can throw our weight around, right? And because people are more trustworthy. I feel like in Eldermorn, people are not so trustworthy, and we are not trustworthy as the triplets. And so if anyone's on to us, they're just going to kill us.
Oh, we also would have just been seduced by Moxora's promises and would have just joined her.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would just be bad guys.
We would just be bad guys.
Well, actually, Maxwell K has a Salt of the Murph question. They ask, do you think we'll ever return to Eldermorn even in a one-shot or something?
Ooh.
So Trinivale triplets aside.
Interesting.
Does anything about Eldermorn call to you?
Yeah, I would like to do something with Eldermorn. I'm not sure what. It's been like, I think we're into a nice groove right now with the schedule, and I think C3 is kind of here to stay for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have to see. We'll have to see where we're at after this is done if we want to revisit it.
What about a live show?
Yeah, ooh. We should do an Eldermorn live show at some point.
I like that. Especially in a place that we've been to a bunch of times.
I think
like
that's
if we went back to like the Wilbur in Boston.
Yeah. I think that's a way to do
I
it.
I would love that.
Really like really advertise fun. A like Eldermorn tour and bust those characters out every once
that
in a while.
Really
right.
Fun.
That would be fun.
Off of the Trinivale triplets in Eldermorn, I was remembering we had a joke at a live show where Hungry Dave was like trying to get like a gate spell so that he and his boys could go to Halloween Horror Nights in Eldermorn.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I feel like that would be the angle is like
just a goofy like
yeah, something like that where like it is like a haunted hayride but like in Eldermorn.
Some kind of spooky. It's I guess the Trinivale triplets are just they like to travel.
Yeah.
So they're tourists of something. What would they be looking at?
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Okay, let's ask another crew query. Trey K writes, this question is sort of a 50-50, but if you could have any D&D creature as a pet, what would it be, including pets from the campaigns, of course?
Can I just say one that's not a D&D?
Sure.
The little squirrel in Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That squirrel's really cute.
I don't know if it's a squirrel. It's just a little
Yeah,
character.
What was the name of it?
Ooh. I can't remember.
It's something. It's called something squirrel, right? It's like
I don't remember.
I don't know.
It's like a flying squirrel kind
of thing,
right?
I watched it on my iPad really cute, yeah. In bed when we were on tour one time, and I was like, this is the cutest creature I've ever seen
M tapped
life.
Me to show it to me.
It was like, great. This is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, she was literally like jet lagged and stuff. So she was just like out of it, but literally just like really solemnly told me that it was the cutest thing she'd ever seen.
That movie rips
it
for
really
like multiple
does.
Reasons. Like it gets you right up top with that flying squirrel. And then there's like the big bugs. Mm. And then she's on a cool glider. And then the 80s soundtrack is just ripping.
The soundtrack
with all
is
sorts
amazing.
Of synth. It's
yeah.
fantastic.
I think it's Joe Hisaishi, I think.
Yeah,
but
cool. I have so a non D&D answer to it.
I'm so sorry.
Air Bud,
I'm
I think.
So
Air Bud.
Yeah,
wow. So you can play basketball.
Because like, I mean, Air Bud played, I think it was high school basketball.
Yeah.
But like was very, very good.
Yeah,
you could see Air Bud going
see,
D1, mm-hmm. being the sixth man
money.
On a bench in the NBA. Yeah. I'm trying to make cash off
you think,
my dollar,
yeah, exactly.
what I'm saying.
You think Air Bud could make the NBA?
Yeah, because you guys have you heard of a cash cow? This is a cash dog.
Cash dog.
Yeah. It's a cash dog. Yeah. This is a cash grab with my
I
cash dog.
I just think the dog lifespan isn't going to be great for like a full career. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, you think injury prone?
Super injury prone.
Well, I think like the coaching track would open up.
He's going to have to retire when he's like six.
It'd be so funny to do like a gritty Air Bud reboot in the NBA with him like hard fouls. Yeah. Like biting someone, gets a technical contract negotiation where he eats it.
Dude, you're nine. You, can't be, you throw, can't be a basketball
Air Bud's
player anymore.
Getting into gambling and throwing matches. I think, you know what? I have a D&D character that would be such a cute pet. The mm-hmm. Wildfire Druids, little fire sprites.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. I love them.
Mm-hmm. I love an owlbear. Just a big owlbear.
A big guy.
An actual big,
guy.
Big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big guy.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a Beto for me.
From
Eldermorn. Yeah, those were just the flies that ate shit.
Yeah, they ate shit.
Right.
They were like cow flies.
Cow flies that ate shit.
Or shat a lot. I don't remember if they eat shit.
Right.
I guess. I don't know.
There was shit everywhere.
I just remember that you guys were in a giant cavern full of Beto shit.
Going back to Ghibli, I think for me it would be a cat voiced by Phil Hartman. So.
Oh mm-hmm. my God.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
Isn't that Gigi from
That's Gigi.
KT's Delivery Service?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh goodness. Yeah,
I forgot that Gigi talked. That's right.
All right, we got a question for Salt of the Murph from Carly C. Super interested to see what is coming up in C3, especially now that we've gotten a glimpse at what's going on in the astral plane. Mm-hmm. Did you all, Murph especially, know coming in that something so big was happening out there ahead of time? Or has that more so formed with the adaptation of bringing Hard One into the campaign storyline?
I think I needed to tighten it up a little bit once we were bringing Hard One in, because mm-hmm. then we'd had to actually like run scenes there and stuff like that. However, I did have the idea that the big thing that Gladeholm was dealing with was gods fighting each other. So like that loose idea of there being like a space council of the greatest minds of Bohemia fighting these gods that are going from plane to plane trying to steal each other's divine hearts. Mm-hmm. That idea was there pretty much from the beginning.
God, what a tasty dangle that is. Just like seeing that, like that plump wiener on the hook, just like just waiting.
Another, that wiener is a really tasty dangle.
A plump wiener on a hook.
Oh, a plump wiener on a hook, that's a tasty dangle.
That's a tasty dangle, my friend.
That's a tasty dangle.
I'm swimming up. This fishy be hungry.
All right, here's a crew query. Dina S. asks, y'all kind of jokingly referenced how Hard One saw Bev in Saul and Moonshine in Callie with the most recent ep. Do you actually find it hard to avoid falling in the same dynamics that y'all had in the two crew? I personally do not.
Yeah, I don't really think that I feel that. I don't know that I really think about it too hard. Mm-hmm. I think I just try and focus on having fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, I don't think I'm feeling that.
It's less honestly about like the band of boobs versus duck team and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I think there are natural ways that people play though that you do.
Yeah.
That happens no matter what. Right. Whether you're Calder or Hard One or anything.
There's comedy and jokes and things that I find funny.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just going to bleed into all my characters.
Yeah. Every character that Jake plays is going to be half Jake. Just like every character I play is going to be half me.
Right.
And, yeah.
I feel like interacting with people, I'm always thinking of their character, not thinking of like an old character.
I think it's just not in my mind.
Yeah,
I think I approach it more just like having fun at the table with my friends.
Yeah.
Rather than like I am cultivating a certain type of, you know.
Right. Totally.
The overlaps are like unavoidable just because we are who we are. But like, yeah, it's true. I don't even think about it really. Yeah.
I've been really enjoyed having Hard One around.
Yeah.
Just because you're like, just like. Such a piece of shit sometimes. And it makes me laugh so hard. It's really nice too because like I feel like I played Calliope to be a piece of shit and it's really nice to have someone else to be a piece of shit with.
Yeah. It's all I mean
not
just
be
like
only piece of shit.
It's I guess it's like a blessing. I wouldn't even say it's a curse. But I think like Hard One, I've established him to the point where like I can always identify the dumbest choice in any situation. Yeah. And then once I do, I'm like, of course that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He just always is going to do something like that. He's so fucking prone to put his foot in his mouth and trip over his own feet.
Yeah.
And like be fucking shallow and dumb. Yeah.
It's true. Great. There's like a sweetness to Calder that like differentiates Calder from Hard One.
He's and high intelligence.
Yeah. There is. He knows better.
Yeah. He kind of knows better. Okay, I tell you what, we're planning on talking non-campaign questions over on the short rest feed on Patreon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna offer a little teaser here.
Mm.
It's a non-campaign.
Are you giving us a plump wiener on a hook?
I'm just trying to give you guys a tasty dangle. A tasty dangle for folks to check out Patreon.
I can jiggle this tasty dangle.
These are gonna be non-campaign questions, unlike the one that Caldwell got about hoofs counting.
Yes, oh right. That was D&D related.
That was D&D related.
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, because we talked about it on a live show.
And horses exist
in D&D. And in C1, you brought up chickens counting. Yeah. It was a campaign.
Because they peck.
Yeah. It was a campaign question for that reason.
Also, if you have a question about like why I say something that I say, it's because I saw it in a cartoon and then forgot about it because it happened 20 years ago. And it's just like
and then presented it like you read it in a science book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw it in a cartoon and then pretended I learned it at college.
Yeah. I can't remember what he read in a zoo book and what he saw in Looney Tunes.
I'm a liar and a fool. And so are you for believing anything I've said up until this point.
Well, let's just ground ourselves in reality for a second.
Okay. Because
Flando M has a question for Murph. If you were going to build the Flintstones as D&D characters...
Yes! Yes!
Emily's gone.
Hold on, let's finish.
Two to three weeks off.
Let's finish the question. Let's finish
the
question.
2 to 4 weeks off.
What does do people in the main feed know the Flintstones bit?
I'm honestly not sure.
I'm not sure either.
5 to 6 weeks off. I need to
know. Why, Emily?
We did. I think it came up maybe, but on a main feed episode. Yeah. But then we went way into it on the Patreon, just in case.
Explain what happened with the Flintstones. Okay.
In a D&D court when Beardsley was here,
right?
In the D&D court with Beardsley, it might have just been on the Patreon. Emily's just looking down.
She leaned away from the mic. No chance she speaks.
Somehow she's checked out.
She's
just looking down. Somehow we got into talking about the Flintstones, and then we were talking about Barney Rubble's height. Got into a huge argument about how big or small Barney Rubble was. And then I talked about how when I was a kid, I would make Fred Flintstone costumes by cutting up pillowcases and then wearing them for some fun around the house. Uh-huh. And we talked about the Flintstones so much that Emily would keep saying that she needed weeks off.
Hey, guys, can you approve Emily's personal time off?
She sent out an email. I think she's not going to speak.
She's abstaining.
Well, she's left the room.
It's a protest. Okay.
What is the Flintstones question now that we have some context?
What would their class... Also, we should say that we were wondering why it was a white pillowcase, and then we found out it was from the Flintstones Go to Vegas or something.
No, it was from the movie. Okay, yeah. so we found this out after. Essentially, yeah. So we thought it was the Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas.
Viva Rock Vegas.
But it was actually when Fred gets a promotion from Mr. Slate in the first movie, he starts wearing a fancy caveman suit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great.
So that's the answer.
So that's solved. Okay.
Emily's
out.
So mad.
She's out.
She's on a flight to Vail.
She hasn't blinked.
She's just looking down.
My brain retains so little. And for you to put this information about the Flintstones in there, shoving out something that I undoubtedly read that was awesome.
Really interesting,
Emily,
for sure.
Join me. Join me. Make the Flintstones part of your personal history.
No.
Well, Flanto just wants to know what would their classes and subclasses be.
Okay.
And please do a full level 1 through 20 build.
Okay, so Bam Bam, clearly barbarian.
Easily, yeah. Okay.
Clearly barbarian. Uh-huh. Super strong.
Pebbles maybe druid because she has a relationship with Dino.
She can speak. She can also speak to the Great Kazoo.
Oh, right. There was the alien.
The alien. What would Kazoo be?
Kazoo was in several cartoons, right?
The Great Kazoo can speak to Pebbles.
Right.
So Pebbles kind of has like
maybe like a warlock?
Like a connection.
Yeah.
Oh, warlock, the patron is the Great Kazoo.
That checks out.
Like an otherworldly patron.
Yeah, aberrant mind
that adds
or something
up.
Like that.
Aberrant mind. Warlock.
For this baby.
Is
Pebbles.
Pebbles, great. Of course.
And then, what about Fred? Let's start simple.
Fred? Okay, so he's mad. Mm-hmm. He's... Wooma! Yeah, that's kind of also barbarian. He's going into a rage,
yeah,
right?
What you would think.
He's mad at his wife?
Yeah, because he gets locked out.
This is a huge red flag that you guys just said. Fred, well, he's mad. He's always like, Wilma! He's a barbarian.
He's frustrated. He's locked out.
I guess in retrospect...
I don't think he's mad at Wilma. I think he's like mad at the world, and Wilma is his only comfort.
Right. Yeah. He's not blaming her. He's asking for her help.
Wilma to open up, because I believe Dino, the dinosaur, is responsible for closing the door on Fred.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, right? Here's the thing. He's like, he puts out the saber-toothed tiger.
They have a second pet, the saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
I know one of them drives a car or something. Would any of them be a cavalier fighter?
Interesting.
She's back in.
Let's work with this.
Yeah.
Everyone just repositioned.
We repositioned because we're trying to win over
and now I need
for the
to add another week to my personal time off.
Okay, going so on
the attention
Fred,
alone.
Fred does have
Emily's
Dino.
Emily's doing a silent retreat in Big Sur.
Fred Fred could be a Beastmaster Ranger and just kind of one with bad stats.
Oh, and he works on the Bronto operator. He works on the Brontosaurus.
He works on the Brontosaurus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beastmaster. At Mr. Slate's like mining quarry, company. Yeah. They work in a quarry.
Right. Well, because everything is made out of stone.
Everything's made out of rocks, for sure. So maybe he's multi-classed barbarian because he's got the rage.
Right. And he's min-maxed for sure.
And I think he's not min-maxed. Oh, he's maxed. Because I think he's got, he's max minned. So he's got bad stats.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Fred's got bad stats, but he's a Beastmaster Ranger with a dip into barbarian. Mm-hmm. Barney's too nice to be a barbarian.
Barney might just be an NPC.
Barney's just got plus on everything. Yeah, because he's not that charismatic. Sidekick. He's not. Oh, they do have a sidekick in
Natasha's. I think they introduce sidekicks. So Barney's a sidekick.
Barney's a sidekick mm-hmm. for
okay.
sure.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Does it feel like we got there, or do you want to keep on going?
I feel like we got there.
I feel like we got there. Uh-huh. Emily, do you want to keep on going? Did they do all the Flintstone characters?
I need 7 weeks off.
Amazing. That's amazing.
I just don't know if we can approve that. I'm going over the numbers.
I think we can. I think she's earned it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's round this out with one, I think, really sweet question.
Oh,
okay. Trevor N. asks, what do you all hope is happening in another 5 years of NADPOD? We've recently had our five-year anniversary.
Goodness. That was a sweet one. Honestly, I really hope that we're just playing in another campaign that Murph has dreamed up, and that it's like something that you've wanted to do forever.
Oh, thank you.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I hope we're all. I hope we're all playing together.
We're doing the same.
Traveling together.
Yeah,
like doing just more shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of like what the goals are show wise and everything. But this like big Australia tour. We're living the goal right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's like for me, it's just more of the same.
Just keep going.
I feel like and I like going back to these places. Like the first time we went to London, we did the Leicester Square Theater. And then the next time we did a bigger theater, and I want to keep on visiting and hanging out with fans. I think that's great.
Yeah,
we talked about it earlier, but like just sitting at the table and being surprised by Murph dropping some sort of crazy narrative reveal, or Jake or Emily doing something unexpected and super fun. It's the highlight of my week, and it has remained that way for 5 years. So I'm excited for more surprises.
You're here, guys.
You're here.
Super fun 5 years.
Great five years.
Five more years.
Yeah.
To five more years.
To five more years.
And a level 20 Flintstones campaign.
And this whole we didn't talk about this whole time, me and Caldwell have been drinking Sonic energy drinks.
I can't believe you guys didn't reference that.
How you feeling, man?
I feel fine because we've had a day of recording and I was like, I think I might need to run out and grab a Red Bull or something. But I was like, I think stowed away in our garage, we have a Sonic energy drink if you want to split one.
Yeah, it is peach ring flavored.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's making my heart go fast.
That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Making my heart go fast.
I'm talking into a mic.
Hedgehogs know how to count because they just count the quills on their back.
Yes, mm-hmm. That makes sense. That actually adds up.
Yeah,
that's how I learned how to count, counting the hairs on my head.
And that's easier because you get more like from when you're a baby.
So, yeah, it's true.
You grow those hairs. You only have a few, and then you figure it out.
And that's why you can count.
You can count to like 20 or 30 when you're like
when you're an infant,
when like a month old. Yeah, you can count to like high teens.
For sure.
Yeah, my daughter's
and now I can count to like 40.
Yeah.
And you do have 40 hairs.
You have 40 really thick hairs.
Really
thick 40 hairs. I will say, here's something that maybe is in the short term that is a cool goal. Mm. I would love to do more live D&D courts.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That was so fun. And if you heard it, was that in the main feed?
Or was it just a mixed bag?
A mixed bag. So if you haven't heard that, it was super fun. And also, we got people from the actual audience to send it to send
only
us cases
took questions
beforehand.
From people who were there.
So we got to like yell out to people.
So we got to be like, okay, what, like, did this happen? Like, so all the time when we're speculating, well, we don't really know. Maybe it was like this. instead, we had the audience there, so we could be like, did this happen? And they would be like, yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed to defend yourself, but you can answer,
but you
our,
can
questions.
Answer our questions. Yeah, it was just super, it was super funny. And also,
that's a really
every
good
live show we do is an absolute blast, but yeah, since we changed them up so much, running the live shows with travel and everything ends very up hard being like a ton of work, and yeah, it becomes hard to like spend really any time in the city. So to do like D&D courts and stuff, it's like, takes a little bit off my plate, but not only that, but like getting to have like the give and take with the audience and everything,
yeah,
and to have just that like loose energy and yeah, everything was super fun.
I was sworn in and I was able to practice in Boston.
You were able to practice in Boston.
I think you lost it, though.
I did,
What did you do to lose it?
I don't really
I think you just dared
remember
to mention it in front of
yeah, yeah. I think I brought it up at the end of the day. I think I reminded you guys.
Oh, yeah, we just plucked it from you wantonly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize it could be taken away, so,
and that's, let that be a lesson.
It's gonna feel really good though to get in another
yeah
city.
Wow,
I we also
really and like then that. It's gonna feel really good yeah to take it away.
To be
again
able to practice in Denver would be a joy.
Denver,
I'd love to exert my influence in Colorado.
I can't wait to dangle that tasty little treat for you. Wow.
Yes, I want a tasty dangle on the road.
Sweet, and with that, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up.
Yeah.
We will be answering more questions, more kind of you know, questions like this, more like personal ones and. Mm-hmm. Just ones about maybe the show as a whole and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's correct.
Less like campaign or D&D
I think
focused.
Half of them are Flintstones questions.
Yeah,
right?
Mostly
right,
Flintstone.
Mostly Flintstone based.
2 months is what I need. Two months.
We're just losing Axford. We're losing her. Sweet. So head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
We are the.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I think you got to follow NADPOD on social so you can hear the live tour
yes
announcements.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Check
yes
that out. There's
and every
lots
once
of fun
in a while,
coming.
Every once in a while, I'm on there retweeting fan art I like.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So check it out.
Check us out on social media that we do use.
Socialmedia.com. Yeah.
Yes. NADPOD uses social media, even though we specifically uh-huh don't very much.
Mm. I retain the right to someday rejoin.
Yeah. That uh-huh being yeah said, you can follow us.
Yeah.
Though we may or may not use it,
yes,
at CHMurfsMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Eaxford's Emily, and at Jake Rowitz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
Folks, the end of our show has arrived, which means it's time for me to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right down to it. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Owl, Daniel G, Dungeon Mama, parentheses, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJ M, Trele the Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Murph refusing to objectify the orange fairy in the top hat, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, currently starring in the film adaptation of Ulfgar Goes Punch. Don't know how they're going to adapt that, but I'm going to see it anyway. Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Druid, Heradrian, Rex Daniel, The White, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, hashtag CCC Forever, shout out to my fairy followers. Calder Stan, stay strong. Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel. Cass, skateboard Cass. Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole. Mike K, Lady Taco. Joy T, Nara. Jake L, Nick W, Esme M. Foster, the boneless duck, handing Emily Axford a Nobel Peace Prize in magical physics. Well deserved. William W, Aaron, the asshole ranger. Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Eric McD,
Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud. When are we hitting the course, man? A Nanorama. Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klausowski de Rolo III. Item, the Simple Dimples. J, Dragonborn. Vincent, cocooned in spider jizz. D, happens to the best of us. The Sandrian, Ben A. Feldonis, Dave H. Catherine S. David K. Christian S. Dustin S. Connor F. Hawkeye Pierce. Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F. DPC is awesome. Summer Rose, a.k.a. Grantaire. Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer. Cat C. Kel Slay. Misa of House Inzunza. Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid. Ah. Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor. B. Perky Always. Pat L. Savexel. Achutha A. Lauren H. Talia. Ryan S. The Bone Duster. Robot Crisps. Ball Business Illustrator Insert Request. Ooh, I would love a picture of Saul in full Weatherman costume if you could. Thank you very much. Ploops. Carly A. Addie K. Connor S. Christopher J. Pebblepot. To the Dew Riders. My first. Never mind, we died. I'm a turtle now. Salil, Jack M, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Fanderay, She-Wolf of Winter, Queen of the Bone Perch, Lady of War, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah, the bagel of all things. James G. Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. Dandy, Eric B. Marcos P. Cort, hopes you're having an amazing day. Learns, the Balance Druid. Dakota James P. Frida M. Pagos, betrothed, self-proclaimed Fae Prince. Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian. Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leia C, Paige H, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Monster Hunter Neos, the Spirit of Simon, psyched he got a message to Meg and hopes the hero she delivers to knows he's good for the delivery charge. Keychains, Pentium 2, Processor. Lorelei the Succubus and Kyra, her busty queen. Your friendly neighborhood Yant and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg the mail carrier Bohemia requesting his signature on a Revivify letter addressed to Simon. He said that you would sign for it, hard won. I'm going to hand the package over to him now. Thank you. James F., M4L. Wayfarer has now settled into their new life in the Fae realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Andrew B., Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Mary Beth C., Malora, Devotee. Welshlander. Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd. Mr. D., Dana the Daisy. Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain. Gabriel W., Rinkerbell. Hope Stagger, the only dagger of hope. Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be directing an even cooler puppet show for the Duck Team. It's a good thing Calder is gone for that. Winter Slade, Michaela R., Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is like a box of Martha Togold's sticky buns. Yum, I can attest. Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, your boy Anthony, who moved positions and can't listen to podcasts at work anymore. Josh H., Jack R., Mango Empanadas, Trogdor, the Burninator, Clementine T. This message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC. Alex R., Bunker Master and Player Disaster. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea. Dogs of Babel. Calvius, Silverfang. Gino T., Mama Belle, the Silver Serpent herself. Funir, Dr. Tolkis, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D, Tristan G,
Dungeon Bailiff Tucker. That's right, Jake. First your wife, now your job. Jazzman and Fam, the surgeons behind Pendergreen's juicy new ass. Alex K. Joshua P. Joshua P.S. Martin Tran. Alexande. Linz W. Mandy K. Emma S. Red, the Reforged, Warforged. James, Mr. Craft. Hammy, Beverly's distant cousin. Hiya, cuz. Dragon Knight 86, the godly king. Hard One's hot hump gunk. Well done. Zedgoff, the Raven King who personally knew Caw-Caw. Hurricane Dave, the bellowing bullywog bard of Bohemia. Evan Smith, Jake Sanchez. Look, guys, I'm on Spotify. Sort of. And of course, Breton S. Whew, that is all of our elders. Thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to join their illustrious number and sit beside them on the council, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. That's going to be it for us this week, but we will see you next time with another ep. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.